Hi, I'm Jane. Welcome to the Love Your Lens podcast. In my inaugural podcast, I'm going to take a look at mirrorless cameras. What's all the fuss about, and should you be switching across from your DSLR? Or if you're buying your first posh camera, which should you go for, a DSLR or a mirrorless? There's been a lot of discussion around on this topic and lots of blogs available on the internet as well. But I want this to be particularly helpful to the members of a Facebook group that I've got called Love Your Lens. There's been a lot of interest and debate recently within the group, and people are starting to move across to mirrorless, and others are asking whether they should do the same, whether it's worth it. Now, people familiar with my teaching style will know that I won't go into lots of technical detail, but I'll stick to the practical, helpful and salient points. So if you're wanting to understand technical things like the difference between phase detection, AF, contrast detection, AF, etc., you'll need to go to Google for that, as you won't find it here. Also, I just want to clarify before we start that the terms mirrorless and compact system are one and the same thing. They both describe cameras that have got no mirror and rely on electronics to show you the image in the viewfinder or in the LCD. Now, I decided to go mirrorless early in 2015, so 4 years ago now. I was spurred on by the fact that I'd got really aching shoulders. I'd got tennis elbow, although I think it's more photographer's elbow because I don't really play any tennis. And I've also got a geeky husband who's an earlier adopter of new technology, so he was pushing me in the direction of mirrorless cameras. Previously, I was a Canon user. I'd got a Canon 5D Mark II and three or four Canon Sigma and Tamron lenses. Now, this is quite a small set of lenses for a pro photographer, and it did make the switch to mirrorless an easier decision for me. But the switch was really driven by a need to find lighter kit, and without doubt, mirrorless camera bodies are significantly smaller and they're more portable than the equivalent DSLRs. But just be careful, because this doesn't necessarily mean that the lenses for mirrorless cameras are much lighter or smaller. Before I get into lenses, I need to say a few words about sensor sizes. Now, the sensor size usually denotes the image size, the quality, and broadly speaking, the bigger the sensor, the better the image quality, the better the performance you'll get in low light, and larger file sizes, which mean you get more pixels. Now, I can already hear techies yelling at me saying that's not strictly true, but to keep things simple, we'll accept that as it'll do for now rather than complicate matters. There are two main sensor sizes for DSLR cameras. You've got the full frame sensor that you'll find in larger, more advanced models for professionals and real enthusiasts. And then you've got the crop sensor that's found in entry level and mid level models. The full frame sensor is about the same size as 35mm film, whereas the crop sensor is around a third smaller. You'll also hear that the crop sensor referred to as two thirds or APS-C. The first mirrorless cameras, predominantly from Panasonic and Olympus, had even smaller sensors, and these were known as micro four thirds. These sensors are about half the size of a full frame sensor, and the micro four thirds sensors are still used in Panasonic and Olympus models, and these are particularly popular amongst bloggers. They're really small, neat little cameras, but you can still change the lenses so you can understand the popularity of them. Fujifilm and Sony were really quick to enter the mirrorless market with cropped sensor cameras, so therefore they're offering the same sensor performance as those entry-level DSLRs. So you could look at models like the Sony A6000 and the Fujifilm X series. Nikon and Canon were both a bit late to enter the market, but they've both now got a good offering in cropped sensor mirrorless cameras. Sony were the first brand to offer a full-frame sensor in the mirrorless cameras, and that's what I've got. I've got a Sony A7, and this replaced my Canon 5D Mark II. So I've got the same sensor size, but a significantly smaller and lighter body. Other brands have followed soon with their full-frame sensors too, and you've now got Canon and Nikon full-frame mirrorless cameras, which are getting great reviews following their launch quite late last year. So with regard to sensors, you've got the full offering across the brands now, from micro four thirds to full frame. And it's going to be budget, image quality, camera size and weight that'll determine what you opt for. But there's a few other considerations, and we'll get into those shortly. The market for mirrorless cameras is now quite well developed. The technology is well tested. There were a few early issues of slow focusing, but these have all now been ironed out, and mirrorless cameras are widely considered, viewed to be on a level playing field with the DSLR counterparts. So let's look at some of the reasons you might want to go for a mirrorless camera. Without doubt, they are significantly smaller and lighter than DSLRs, so they're much more portable and convenient. You can easily stick a crop sensor camera like the Sony A6000 in your pocket or handbag. I do a lot of teaching photography. I run workshops. I do lots of one-to-one tuition. And I find mirrorless cameras are great for beginners and people who are learning how to get the exposure and the depth of field that they want. This is because the electronic display on your LCD or in the viewfinder shows you exactly what you're going to get before you press the shutter. As you adjust the exposure, you can see the image brighten or darken on the screen. But with an SLR, you have to take the shot first, review the image, see if it's okay, or if you need to change settings and take it again. So with the mirrorless cameras, it could also mean that you'll miss less shots. Now, I don't do a lot of video, whether it be with an SLR or a mirrorless camera, but mirrorless cameras have had rave reviews when it comes to their video performance with their 4K and the fact that they focus really fast. SLR cameras can fall down on their video using live view because focusing can be slow. Now, the mirrorless cameras, a lot of them have got an electronic viewfinder and it can take a little time to adjust to it. But the brightness and clarity is superb. In the earlier models, it wasn't quite as good, but now with the market more developed, the viewfinders are absolutely brilliant. But do make sure that you go into a shop and try out the different options. There are a few Fujifilm models around that will allow you to switch between an optical and an electronic viewfinder should you want that option. Now, there are some mirrorless cameras that don't have a viewfinder, and personally, I'd recommend that you get one that has one. I find it really useful to be able to review the image that I've just taken through the viewfinder if the weather's really sunny. So, yeah, that's right. You can look at the image through the viewfinder as well as, you know, looking through it to take the picture. And I prefer to use the viewfinder for taking pictures as well. I find I stand more steadily, my pose is better, and I'm less likely to get camera shake. Now, I think you can tell I love my mirrorless cameras. I've bought a second Sony A7. I've got the Mark II now. But there are a few things that you should take into consideration before you decide whether to switch from a DSLR or not. If you've already got a large collection of lenses for your SLR, you need to check really if there's an adapter that will make them compatible with mirrorless cameras. And does the adapter affect how the lens focuses? I've got a Canon macro lens that I use with my Sony A7. I have to use an adapter, which is fine, but I do have to manually focus with it. Now, I don't think that's the case with all adapters. I think a lot of them do autofocus, but it's worth just looking into this and checking properly before you dive right in, thinking it's fine because you can use an adapter with your existing lenses. So other than my macro lens, I traded all my other lenses in and I got the Sony equivalent. So my lens range now consists of a 24-70, a 70-200 and a really nice 55 f1.8 prime lens. Now, one of the things that is also very important to consider is that these lenses are more expensive than the DSLR alternatives. Now, initially, I didn't also have the option of buying the cheaper Tamron or Sigma alternatives, but that's changed and new lenses are coming out from these manufacturers all the time now at the rate of several per year. Initially, when mirrorless cameras first came out, one of the key downsides was that there simply wasn't a wide choice of lenses available when you compared to what was available for DSLRs. But now, unless you're looking for quite a specialist lens, you should find that there's a good range of lenses available and the mirrorless market is so much more established than it was, say, 5 years ago. Something that surprised me a little bit is that the lenses for mirrorless cameras aren't necessarily significantly smaller or lighter than the lenses for DSLRs. If you've gone for a crop sensor mirrorless camera, the lenses are quite small. But because it's sensor size that will determine the lens sizes, the lenses for the full frame cameras can still be quite large. I still find my Sony A7 with the 70-200 lens around, which is quite a hefty lens, it's still around a third lighter than the Canon 5D Mark II with 70-200 lens on. So it has made a good difference to me. The other thing that can be a little bit of a shock when you first switch to mirrorless is that battery life is not great. You've got the electronic viewfinder and the LCD eating up battery power. Now, I've just accepted that. I've bought extra batteries. I've got 5 batteries in total now, and that's more than enough to shoot a full day wedding. And I just accept that I've got to carry spare batteries. So it's not a biggie for me, but it is worth considering. So I hope that's given you a helpful insight into mirrorless cameras, the ups and the downs. Because the market is moving so fast nowadays, I would always advise that you do some research of your own. Make sure you read some up-to-date reviews on cameras and on lenses. And definitely don't buy before you get to hold the camera, check out how it feels, the weight of it, where are the key buttons and settings located. Thank you for listening to my first podcast. I hope you found it useful and informative. If you've got any questions or comments, please just get in contact with me. And take a look at the Love Your Lens website for details of upcoming workshops and if you're interested in one-to-one tuition.